か。マジで始まるんすか。I put self-loathing at the end of a string. Drag it after me, swing it like it wasn't a thing. And I can sing in Japanese, please don't say to prove it. Maybe I forgot it when the music got interluded. Who did front, tell a lie, did he mumble? Did this guy high credibility crumble? Double humble was he then, and polite in speech. Did he make escape as he escalated out of reach? Or is he bringing each and every one of you a message? Did he suggest that if you're depressed, if it depresses, not loving it in terms of talking? But I don't understand shame, mama, leave it to you.
Hey everybody and welcome to your March 16th, 2012 Jumpcast, the only manga podcast with more consistency than Bleach. I'm your host Imran Khan, with me this week is Greg Madison Jan.
Gentlemen.
And Mike Poor Eyes Lemieux.
Yeah.
So, we're starting with Beale this week.
Before we get into that, there's a couple absences that we should probably talk about.
Oh like, yeah.
Bleach.
Yeah, Bleach is on break this week, so no chapter.
Yeah. Which is amazing to me, because they just started the final arc.
Well, we did figure that he just got caught up with, started producing ones past the cancellation notice, so maybe he's making further changes to his story.
Well, I don't know, it's just that they took 3 weeks off, so you'd imagine that they would have been able to work out a lot of those kinks during that period of time, so...
I totally I
don't know.
Forgot
it might be... It could easily be he got sick or something like that, so...
Maybe it was a scheduled vacation. Yeah.
Yeah.
Probably shouldn't read into it too much.
Yeah, just kind of weird when you're making an entertainment product, you take 3 weeks off, and then you come back for 3 weeks.
I do have an interesting fact I want to point out. Hunter x Hunter is also going on indefinite break after this chapter. Togashi's, just calling it quits again. The message at the end of the chapter actually says, like, the mangaka has decided to take a break. He will let us know when he starts up again. But it turns out, I was reading something, that this is actually the longest it's gone without taking a break. 30 chapters.
Huh.
30. That's it. Just totally blew my mind.
Does his wife still work in the industry?
I don't know. I'd have to look that up.
Because I imagine he's not rolling off Yu Yu Hakusho royalties forever.
Well, I'm sure she's living off of Sailor Moon royalties forever.
Oh, that's true.
Honestly, I don't even think that they have to worry about royalties with those two series. Made enough money from the outset, you can just live off of interest.
Yeah, but Hunter x Hunter is probably more of just like a passion project of him getting out his, mangaka-ing.
Well, clearly not that passionate.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, how many hiatuses has it taken? Like, within the last 5 years, six?
Yeah, well, if 30 chapters is as long as it's ever gone without a hiatus...
Okay, yeah. I think we need to lay down a bet on which series has had more vacation weeks, Berserk or Hunter x Hunter.
Now, for Berserk, do you count like every week as being a vacation week, or is it every...
Well, every other, because it's an every other series.
Hmm. Oh, geez, that's going to make it closer.
Yeah.
I'd still go with Berserk, because that's been going for like 30 or 40 years.
That's 20 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Berserk has run most of my natural lifetime.
Yes.
Yeah, so.
To be fair, he was much more consistent in his releases earlier on.
Still, though.
Yeah.
And the other absence for this week is still actually running. It's just nobody's bothering to translate it.
Yes.
Stars.
We're still waiting for a translation from 2 weeks ago for Stars. So.
It's a good thing we all caught up immediately for it to stop getting released.
Well, of course. It's the way those things work, right?
I'm actually finding that when I catch up on a long manga... The week-to-week stuff seems really boring to me for a while.
Yeah, I think that in general, most of the ones that are planned out, at least, read better as going through an entire arc or something like that than reading a
week-to-week. How have you guys felt about Buell lately? Because I've been reading that week-to-week since the start. I read that from chapter one.
That's actually what I was thinking of. It's like, I felt Buell flowed a lot better when I was reading it in one big, 30 chapters at a time.
I agree entirely.
Everything reads better when you read it 30 chapters at a time.
Well, yeah, but it was a lot... it was more entertaining that way, I suppose.
It's a lot easier to remember who a lot of the minor characters are when they're being more constant as opposed to disappearing for a couple weeks and then showing up again. That sort of stuff.
I can definitely understand that.
Yeah.
So this week, they introduced the other child reading badass. What was his name?
Aiba.
Aiba, there we go. And he sees Kureida and immediately falls in love.
Because who wouldn't?
Yes. And
she acts once more like the starstruck sort of person, which honestly seemed a little out of character for her.
She was very
unless
agreeable.
She's really got a thing for guys who are raising children.
I don't think she necessarily liked him. She was just trying to quiet everyone down and just very
agreeable.
She
seemed distinctly embarrassed as opposed to, you know, the usual let's beat the guy up.
Well, also his little sister looks kind of like her little brother.
I suppose, but...
But yeah, Oga and Aiba got into an argument.
Yes.
About not getting into arguments.
Yes.
Yeah.
They kind of don't like each other, from what I can tell.
Yeah, but although neither one of them seems to really be able to tell why.
That's, you know, opposites attract and similar people detract or whatever. So. Yeah.
That was a weirdly specific Dragon Quest V reference.
Yeah.
Like, usually when it does Dragon Quest references, it keeps them pretty broad, like, you know, thunder spells that are pretty consistent across the series. This was what the main hero's father wanted to name him in Dragon Quest V.
I wonder if that just means the Mangaka was playing Dragon Quest V on the DS recently. That's the only way I could. That's the only way I could think.
Seems kind of reasonable.
But I mean, it's even the DS version is pretty old.
Yeah.
About a year or two old.
That's just like one moment out of an old game, though. You're right. It's such a specific thing.
I would not have gotten the reference if a bunch of people in the actual series had not exclaimed about it being a reference.
I've played Dragon Quest V, and I didn't get that reference until I read the translator notes and the people saying it.
I got the Nimzo reference that he referred to Beale as the Demon King from the end of the game. But I didn't, like, Madara-san, that's very, very specific.
So anyway, like, the rest of the chapter was basically just hotel fun times.
I appreciated
that they introduced Aoi's demon again, only for him to get flushed down the toilet.
Yes.
I figured he'd been forgotten about.
I forget, can other people see him?
Maybe? I don't know. I don't think I don't think it's come up.
Now, it was mentioned at some point, but I don't remember whether or not they can.
Yeah, the end of the chapter just made me throw my hands up in the air and want to give up on predicting what twists Beale's ever going to take.
Yeah, it's just kind of like, well, okay. Well, I did at least like that Oga kind of had the same thought that I did in that this other guy with another kid obviously has to be tied to the demon stuff somehow.
Yeah, and they even like kind of start to hint at it a little, and then all of a sudden it's just, no, my sister's fallen in love with Beelzebub.
No, that's not the shocking thing. The shocking thing is that she talks.
You think?
It's very, very clear. Like,
yeah, no, but I mean, you think that's shocking?
Kind of. She's a baby.
Eh, she's just small.
Not necessarily a baby. You don't know how old she is.
Yeah, if she's like 2 or something, she could just say big brother. I mean,
I don't know. She looks pretty young. She has to be carted around by him.
I still think she could be a demon.
I think it's possible.
Although, if we start getting into everyone having their own demon babies, this basically just becomes a Gash Bell. I mean, it already kind of is a little bit, but
I vaguely remember that series.
Yeah, it was about a guy with a little kid that shot lightning.
I remember seeing it on Cartoon Network occasionally and going, what the heck is this crap? And then turning the channel to something else.
Hey, it was pretty good. Don't.
Though in retrospect, that actually is the series are very similar.
Yeah, well, when you break it down to just that specific part, they're really similar, but they're totally different outside of that.
And tone, they're different.
Yeah. Gash Bell was actually, like, surprisingly grim and dark a lot of the time. That was a pretty bloody series.
I seem to remember hearing that a lot, like, everybody died at the end or something.
The thing is, in that one, it was all these demons were vying to be the Demon King, and they had to kill each other. And they actually do reach a point where it's, like, only the main characters and the main bad guy left. And so the main characters have to start fighting and killing each other. So, yeah. It was a weird series. I would recommend it if anyone's super interested.
So back to Beale, I don't think that... I think it would be too on the nose if it were another demon. I think it would probably be something completely out of left field.
Do you guys think there are going to be other people with demons that are going to show up?
I do think that it's possible that we might see another one or two at some point.
I mean, there have to be more demons, because it can't just be, like, the royal line that's bonding with people.
I mean, how many more times?
So what's the hierarchy that we know about at this point? There is the current King Beelzebub, and he has... I thought that they mentioned three kids, or was it just the two? Or do we not know?
I don't think we know.
I think we know that there was Beel, and then when N showed up, we found out that he had a bigger brother. But that's all we know. Is that N is his older brother.
And then there's the, like, four generals, or whatever it is, where we've seen Behemoth, who's one of them.
Yeah.
But also, their teacher has bonded with a demon in the past.
Yeah.
So, presumably, if there's four generals, do you think there would be four demon children? Since it seems like N owns one of the generals.
Maybe? Well, no, remember, Behemoth, so, like, they threw their support behind him.
Right.
That was the big thing.
Right, because they want him to become king, I guess because they figure he's more militaristic, or he'll rely on them more.
Which is weird, because he just turned out to be an otaku.
Yeah. And I guess they figure Beale has kind of bonded to someone they consider weak.
Well, he does seem a lot softer than his brother. I don't think it's just him being a child.
And hasn't bonded with anybody, I don't think.
Didn't look like it, no.
Because I know one of the things they explained early on that they never really touched on again is that whenever Beale is separate from Oga, he becomes weaker than humans.
Yeah, and also it kills Oga.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like, if he's just not touching him. Because remember when he got into that wrestling match with Kunieda's little brother?
Right, yeah. And he just got flipped over and, like, pile-drived.
Yeah. So, like, logically, N would be pretty weak if he were bonded with somebody that he's separate from.
I wonder if way down the line he's going to team up with somebody and get stronger.
Well, the question is whether that's just an infancy sort of thing or whether there's, like, a point in the life where it ceases being the case. Because it's possible that he could have, in the past, bonded with somebody.
Oh, that's true. When he first showed up, I thought for sure it would be with Furuichi. And just disappear randomly.
It could still happen. I mean, they do have a specific relationship with each other of hate, but...
Furuichi doesn't hate him. He just doesn't want to die.
And hates Furuichi.
Yeah.
Like, a lot.
Because of the whole Lamia thing.
Yes.
They're made for one another.
That was a good turning point for his character.
How did you guys like the fake badasses from the other school?
The ones hanging out in front of the vending machine?
Well, the knockoffs of the Ishiyama badasses. He made G, like a guy with little tiny eyes and a really crappy pompadour.
Yeah. They, from what I'm understanding, like, just kind of skimming past the translation, they are people who respect Ishiyama High School. But they don't know that the delinquents they're talking to are from Ishiyama.
Well, it's probably a thing that, like, Ishiyama's tales are known far and wide, but, like, pictures of them are not readily available.
Yeah, who they actually are.
Right, because they think they're from Saint Ishiyama.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm still struggling to see where this is going. But I'm happy... Even if it goes nowhere and it's just a bunch of crazy things happening each chapter.
Yeah, it's still entertaining.
I still think there's more to Aiba than meets the eye. Oga seems genuinely bothered by him.
I agree.
I'm kind of wondering if Aiba himself isn't a demon or something.
And he bonded to the baby?
Maybe. I mean, he does have white hair, and she has black hair.
That would actually be a good twist.
For yeah.
The human-looking one to bond with the baby.
Yeah, that would actually be pretty cool.
Be an interesting reversal.
Though saying that, now they're not going to do it.
Yeah, it's going to be something that none of us can see happening, and we'll be totally crazy when it happens. And
So do you think that any of the Aoi-Oga tension is going to get resolved in this one, or they're just going to continue
yanking
that chain?
Comedy of errors.
I'm guessing that Oga and Aiba are going to fight, and Kuneeda is going to mistake it as fighting over her.
That would be pretty good. Have her like tell them they need to stop and that she can love both of them.
And it's actually just about demons.
Or just because they feel like fighting.
She's the only non-starting person that knows about the demon stuff, right?
I think her and Furichi are like the only two that actually know.
Yeah, I'm pretty... I think that there's some suspicions on the other ones, because I seem to remember there being a couple scenes where people are like, wait, what's going on, sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. I think
but
even like,
I don't think it's actually been explicitly stated to anybody
else. Yeah, even Tojo doesn't know, because he just got the tattoo because it looked cool. He has no idea about the demon.
No, they told him how to kill demons at one point.
They did? I thought everyone just misunderstood and assumed it was...
Well, his teacher gave him specific training. He may have not understood what it meant.
Yeah, he is pretty dumb.
Yeah.
So I'm eager to see where this arc goes.
But at most, he would be the other person who knows.
Yeah.
I did like one thing a couple of chapters ago. It was a few months ago when you found out Oga's sister was actually the founder of the Red Tails.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That was a neat little throwaway thing.
I'm guessing she's probably way more powerful than anyone thinks, but it'll never come up.
Yeah. Well, it'll probably come up like exactly once, and she'll just feed a
when
demon
she like fun. Just slaughters their entire team and then disappears.
I have a feeling like everyone in Oga's family is probably freakishly strong.
He does have a weirdly innate amount of power.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's a shonen series. What do you expect?
Yeah, but he's throwing people through walls and stuff before he even gets a demon.
Though technically so is Aiba.
Yeah. But then...
Alright, so... Bill was good this week. That's a consensus.
Yes.
Next is Bakuman, which I don't quite remember.
It's turning into American Idol.
Oh, right. The YouTube, or Nico Nico, I guess.
That's not where it starts, though. The chapter starts with it being broadcast on TV about Mashiro and Azuki's relationship. And like his mom finding out and throwing her support behind him and stuff. And then, the producer comes in and says that they're going to do online tryouts for the role.
Yeah, which is not playing to their strengths because of the demographics that would be the most likely to tune in, so to speak.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're mostly fearing that vindictive otaku will vote for someone else.
How I think this is going to play out is they're going to hide the names of the people. You're going to have to vote just on voice.
I'm still sticking with my other theory that there's going to be one girl that's going to use the PR disaster to her advantage.
Could be.
Because, I mean, they clearly have characters designed. Because the first page of that chapter was...
Yeah, it has multiple. Yeah.
And one of them is that that other girl, right? The friend of the assistant.
Is it?
I didn't think so.
I thought that they were talking about two other... Like, I thought that they were talking... I got the impression that... You remember how a couple chapters ago they talked about how she became third in the, like, voting of which ones were popular? I thought that they were number one and number two were the other ones that were being shown. I don't base this off of anything. That was just kind of my personal assumption.
Yeah, well, they said... Like, the producer said they were going to bring in, like, the best of the best. Or they were putting out an open call so the best of the best would come.
Or amateurs, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyone is welcome.
But it's going to come down to, like, her, an amateur, and a super professional.
Yeah, I wonder if she'll get her own edgy, you know, person that comes out of nowhere and is just super talented.
There should be a voice acting manga.
I do think that the that your idea of, I think that early on, it's not going to be blind, and it'll become obvious that their fears are well-founded, and then for, like, the finals or whatever it is, they're going to have it be done deaf, if you will, or without seeing who's who.
Yeah, just kind of blind.
Yeah. Although, with voices, it's a little less effective because you can kind of tell who people are by the sound of their voice.
Any fan of Zuki would immediately know her voice, I'm sure.
Yeah.
It is an interesting wrinkle, and I was blasting Bakuman for the last 2 weeks for being predictable, and having it be a contest voted on by people is decidedly unpredictable.
You know, I was actually going to make a joke a few weeks ago that they should settle it with American Idol, but I decided that would be too stupid, so I didn't say anything.
And you see, personally, I think that of any of the various avenues that they could have gone down to attempt to make tension for the remainder of this arc, this is pretty much the best way to do so.
Yeah, a contest with direct rivals. Pretty simple.
Yep. It's straightforward, but it works.
My guess is, I'm throwing in another prediction now, that one of the three girls that were shown behind her in the color page is going to throw the contest or quit or something because she finds out about Azuki's relationship.
Who the heck wouldn't know at this point?
Well, she pieces it together that that's the Azuki she's been hearing about.
That would kind of go against what the manga, you know, the whole thing now is that Azuki can do this on her own with her raw talent. You know, to have it handed to her in the end would kind of...
Well, I don't think she'll be the last one. But I think like early on she'll probably realize who it is.
Quarterfinals or something.
Yeah. I mean, there's a couple of times where, like, other people have found out about the relationship and they've gone out of their way to help out.
But I'm just saying that there's not going to be any point for realization or a person to throw it or anything like that. I mean, it's been announced that the relationship is between the one voice actress and Ashiragi Muto, who are the people who are making the manga, which they're making an anime of. I mean, this is not secret anymore. So
well, this assumes that, she knows Azuki is there. We don't know how they're setting up the voice actress thing in the first place. They could be just as blind as everybody else.
Okay, I see what you're saying.
Right.
Like, if it is a blind thing, then...
Because what I just assumed when I saw it that they weren't just all going to one big stage and doing it.
Does it strike you as weird that the anime company would bother setting this whole thing up and not just go screw it, we don't need the bad publicity, let's just hire somebody else?
I guess I see it as free advertising.
You think they're trying to drum up hype for Reverse E by doing an idol contest?
That does seem like something Japan would do.
Like something that pretty much any media company would do.
Kind of
right. I mean, let's be honest, we're talking about bad publicity and that sort of stuff in most countries outside of Japan. This wouldn't be bad publicity.
I mean, I don't think they'd pull the same thing off in America if, you had the equivalent of comic artists and cartoons and whatever. They wouldn't try to make a big media blitz over it. They just try to move past it as fast as possible. And here it feels like they're, actively engaging it.
Yeah, if a voice actor was dating a woman who was making a comic here in America, nobody would really care.
Yeah.
Would not be national news like it is in Japan.
I do think Mashiro is being kind of stupid. Takagi makes a lot of good points about how this is a bad idea, and it's their manga, so they should be able to just choose whatever they want.
Well, they're willfully giving up control to just chance it on... Because, I mean, the thing Mashiro seems to be missing about this is I'm sure she could do it with her talent, but it's whether the people that are voting actually care about talent.
And of course it's going to work out because it's Bakuman. But it just seems, in a realistic situation, if I were Mashiro or you know, anyone else there, I'd be telling him, this is a terrible idea. You should not embrace this madness.
Giving in to the otaku.
Because he seems to think that this is going to be a totally valid, and fair thing.
Which I'm sure... You know, what would actually happen is the hottest girl would win.
Yeah.
Because she'll get the most votes.
Are you implying that sex sells?
No, never. No. Yes.
If sex didn't sell, they wouldn't have put the color page as four cute voice actresses.
Or they wouldn't have designed them that way in the first place.
Yeah. It's funny that all the voice actresses are incredibly attractive.
Well, that's just because when they're chosen, they're typically, you know, for... In Japan, they're usually idols as well.
Yeah. That isn't such a weird thing.
But you can find, like, the homely ones here and there.
Eh, no, if you've seen a lot of voice actresses, most of them are pretty attractive.
It's not like Goku's voice actress was all that good-looking.
Oda married the voice actress for the main character in his anime.
Well, that was his long con. That was the whole thing he was letting...
Wait. I thought that Oda... I didn't think that it was the voice actress.
Never mind. That's right. It was an actress that played Nami.
Yeah, it was like a professional cosplayer at a thing dressed up as Nami.
My point still stands somehow.
I mean, look at Masako Nozawa. Like I said, she was the voice of Goku. She's freaky looking.
Yeah, but she played a guy so for like 30 years.
Yeah.
Yeah, I suspect that there's the ones that play male characters versus the ones who play female characters are treated differently, if you will.
So, like, that's another example of the sex selling, I guess. That they civically make it so they want people to lust after these characters and voice actresses.
Well, yeah, they want to encourage the type of behavior that we've just seen the last couple chapters.
In that case, Mashiro should be like, fuck you.
He should. That's what I'm saying. It's him assuming that this is all going to be perfectly fair and voted on by talent. But, you know, who knows if it will be in Bakuman, but I think in real life it would not work out that way.
Yeah. Which I guess, like, this is one of those situations
Well, I think that in real life nobody would ever attempt to, you know, have the completely pure relationship where they don't see one another until their dreams are made, etc., etc., etc. So... That's getting into a mental exercise in futility.
I'm noticing, rereading the chapter, though, this voice actress poll numbers. The number one, the Natara Kanra, whatever, she has heads and tails above everyone else in the vote numbers.
Yeah, like, huge gap.
Yeah,
that's what she's going to have to be overcoming.
Yeah, that's she's obviously going to be the main rival.
Her edgy.
Yes. So what do you think next week? Do you think we're going to get a pretty good chunk into this, or are they going to stretch this out for a while?
I think they're going to stretch it out, but it's going to be like, by the end of next chapter, we will be introduced to the contestants.
Yeah, get going.
All the various contestants.
I'm guessing, like, one of the voice actresses is going to try to meet Ashiragi Moto.
Yeah, I could see that. Like, oh, I just want to get to know the authors of what I'm going to be trying out for.
And she's probably going to be the kind of, like, bitchy one.
It's going to be funny if someone tries to seduce Mashiro. Like,
didn't what's her name try to do that?
Well, but she backed off as soon as she heard that he had a girlfriend.
Yeah.
I mean, someone going after him for the part.
And then there was the actual girl way back when, the female assistant.
Yeah, who was like 30 when he was 16.
Yeah, that was creepy.
It's still kind of creepy.
Nakai struck out with her.
Yeah.
The beginning of his downslide.
Yeah.
That is what kind of caused him to snap, isn't it?
Yeah. Though he hasn't reacted well to the wedding, which, like, with Hiramaru... Or reacted at all, really.
Well, it's because he thinks he has a shot with, I can't think of her name right now.
Aoki.
Aoki's sister, who does not exist.
Yeah.
Or maybe...
Yeah, isn't he supposed to be the best man or something like that?
Yeah, well, I think for lack of anyone else to be hero.
That's going to go over amazing.
Wait, why isn't his editor the best man?
Hmm.
He got them together.
Yes, but he's been tricking him the entire time, so obviously he doesn't trust him.
I'm
so
chapters.
Wonderful with using descriptive pronouns.
Now I just want to read more Hiramaru stuff.
Yeah. We should really bring it back to that. So speaking of a bunch of separate stories going on at once, Naruto had, like, it's very plainly setting up the three fights.
Yes, well, which would have been much better at the end of the chapter or something like that, because it kind of, you know, gave away which way one of the things that we didn't know about was going to go.
Which, yeah, you're talking about Sasuke and Itachi.
Yeah, we didn't know which side Sasuke was going to end up on, although really he didn't have any reason to fight on the same side as Kabuto. Yeah. But it's,
you
like,
guys had...
they're on the first page of the chapter. This is the fights.
You guys had the same reaction I did, right? Which was like, wait, really? Really? Did I miss something last time?
Yeah. I was like, did I miss a chapter?
I didn't really have that sort of reaction. I was just kind of like, well, giving it away. It's the same way that the names of episodes are in the anime. Like, it describes exactly what's going to happen in that chapter.
Shocking finale, Goku beats Frieza, that kind of stuff.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. But in those situations, like no. That was always stuff based on manga. So they figure most people have read that or know what's happening. But this is like the manga, and it's straight up telling you Itachi's going to be on, or Sasuke will be on Itachi's side.
Yep.
Yeah. Which
is... you know, given he never really liked Kabuto, he's taken Orochimaru's powers, you know, all that sort of stuff. Given that they're, you know, he has absolutely no reason to not fight there, and then it's basically he wants to talk to Itachi. Itachi basically says, okay, we'll talk after we beat this guy.
I could have seen it being like a triangle fight. Just because Sasuke is crazy and thus does not think.
Well, that was the thing about this chapter, is he was suddenly not crazy. He's, like, joking and keeping his, you know, wits about him instead of just freaking out at everything. If this was the old Sasuke, we'd have gotten a lot of panels of his eye being open really wide with shading around it.
Yes, he was surprisingly lucid.
Well, it's not like he really has anything to be crazy about right now.
I suppose.
Because his whole craziness for the last 6 months has been Itachi's dead and Konoha's to blame. But if Itachi's not dead, then he could sane down?
Yeah, I'm going to love it when to see Sasuke's reaction when they succeed, the Edo Tensei or whatever it is defeated, and then Itachi just disappears without the conversation.
I bet he'll have enough time to say something profound before he...
Well, of course.
It'll be like, find the truth in Naruto or something like that, and Sasuke will completely misinterpret it.
What's that? Naruto killed you. So there actually wasn't much Itachi, Kabuto, Sasuke stuff this chapter. Just kind of very quickly setting up the fight at the start.
And there was literally no Naruto B.
Despite being on the cover page, yeah.
Yeah. Like, yeah. The three fights still change the world, and we'll focus on one.
Yeah, it was almost entirely Madara versus Tsunade. Which is a pretty cool fight. I'm enjoying it.
It's getting better. Now that he's separated, that it will have to involve the other Kages more directly.
Yeah.
Yeah, he did...
I liked the five-on-one thing.
Yes. Makes the joke about there being five of them on one of him, and then he makes 15 wood clones, and then it's five on for every one of them.
25. You can do math.
I apparently can't. I just disproved your theory. But yeah, 5-on-1 for every Kage, which they're kind of boned, I guess.
Here's the line I didn't understand. When he was talking about Susanoo, does that mean, I guess, he has Susanoo powers?
Because
it's maybe a very badly translated line.
Yeah, I suspect he was using Susanoo earlier, wasn't he?
Yeah. I think what it is the clone.
I think that he's just basically taunting them, saying, like, here, do you prefer fighting against these things to fighting against this thing that I was doing earlier? You know.
Yeah, I think it's, you know, either him using Susanoo or five of him not using Susanoo. Which one do they think, you know, which one do they prefer?
Yeah, he's taunting them. That's really all you have to get from it.
I am kind of curious how they're going to get out of this. Because, I mean, I forget if the Bushin rules apply to Naruto from DBZ, where you actually split your power between people. or if just everyone's the exact same power.
Yeah, they play fast and loose with those rules.
Yeah, like way back in the day, they made it sound like that it was split between each of the different clones evenly, which was the reason why it was a forbidden jutsu way back when, because it would be too easy for somebody to kill themselves accidentally.
You can't possibly have enough chakra to do it unless you're some sort of rock star like Kakashi or Naruto.
Yeah,
yeah,
exactly.
But these wood clones, presumably Harashima would be the only one that could do them, and Yamato.
Yeah, so we don't know about those things. And remember, it used to be a big deal, like, oh, this was a forbidden jutsu, and then all of a sudden people had, you know, water clones and all those other sort of things that...
When he realized that clones were a very good fake-out thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that all of those rules kind of went out of the window. I think that the general rule that you can assume with these guys are they're not going to be as strong as the original, but it's not like the original's power has been cut down by making them.
See, like the entire point of Pain's multi-body technique was that he could always, like, he was constantly getting feedback, and nothing was diminishing in power.
Well, yeah. That was the thing about the Rinnegan, is that you can see all of them simultaneously. Like, regular clones, you don't have that.
Right, and they established the rule at one point that once the clones break, then the user gets all the knowledge back.
Yeah, that was how
Rinnegan's
training.
That was the hyperbolic time chamber.
So I'm sure there's some sort of weakness in here that probably only Tsunade knows because of Naruto's various Bushin techniques.
I have a feeling this is the thing that's just going to stall them until they actually beat Kabuto and the Edo Tensai.
Yeah, I'm completely with you there. I don't think that
they're
actually
gonna
going to
these...
beat him.
Yeah, they're just going to hold
off
these five clones.
They'll, like, beat some of the clones so it'll look like they're making progress, but it's basically just going to be a giant battle royale stall until the jutsu is dissolved and he just kind of disappears.
Yeah, that's ending the Madara fight as far as I'm concerned.
Did you notice that Anko made a cameo in this chapter?
Her chest did. I noticed that.
Yeah, just her boobs bringing up from the floor.
Yeah, I'm still very confused if she's, like, wearing a mesh shirt or a just cross-stitch shirt. Never been clear on that.
She's wearing whatever sells the models better.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that from the anime and that sort of stuff, it's basically a mesh, but then there's, like, another fabric in between the mesh parts or something like that. So it just looks like that.
I wonder if she's going to come into play during this battle at all, or if she's just dead.
Wouldn't surprise me if it's kind of like a, you know, a shaved knuckle in the hole or something like that that'll come up.
He's obviously using her for something, because she's the last person with the curse seal, right? So I'm sure it has something to do with Orochimaru's power.
I figure
there's all of the other people that had the curse seal that, you know, Sasuke released
Okay, the last person with a curse seal immediately surrounding Kabuto right now.
Okay, yes.
In the immediate proximity.
I figure he'll either wake her up and, like, manipulate her to fight on his side, or she'll do some, like, last-minute kunai to the back sort of thing.
What I'm really hoping for out of the Kabuto fight is that he's going to resurrect Sasuke and Itachi's parents to fight them. I think that would make for an awesome fight.
I could totally get behind that.
Yeah, get a lot of character development out of everybody involved.
Except for Kabuto, but yeah.
Yeah, also be a real dick move.
Which certainly fits his character, so...
Well, Itachi has no problem killing them.
Yeah, he's done it before. He
could
again.
But can he do it in front of his younger brother?
Yeah. Didn't he do it in front of them before?
No. Sasuke wasn't around at the time.
I mean,
right?
He was nearby. He saw the bodies.
Remember, Sasuke, like, came back and everybody was already on the floor and Itachi was just standing above them.
Yeah.
He conveniently went to buy groceries or something. While every other Uchiha was left in alone.
Well, obviously, Itachi, you know, sent him off so that he wouldn't be there, right?
Hey, Sasuke, can you go get me some bread? I've got some stuff to do.
Itachi did have one really badass line in this issue, where he was like, it doesn't matter what the Ito Tensei's weak point is, the weak point is me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sasuke only wishes he could be that cool.
I'm pretty excited for next week, because... I don't know, fantasy fights in Naruto, Itachi and Sasuke teaming up against Kabuto with Orochimaru power is kind of up there.
Also, color spread next week.
Yeah, color pages.
Yep.
Watch them not focus on this fight anymore and just go back to Naruto.
Yep, I could see that, because that's the one that's of the three that was not covered in this chapter, so.
Which I wouldn't mind, because actually all these fights have gotten interesting.
Yeah.
Basically, for its climax, for its finale, they're pulling out all the stops, and thus far, it's pretty good.
Yeah, given the title page of it pointing out, you know, Masked Man, Madara, Kabuto, the strongest villains in the world, you know, being fought. Do you guys, you know, do you think this is the end of the war now that everyone's being faced down?
They still got to go Naruto, Sasuke.
Yeah.
There's no other situation that's going to lead to that that doesn't seem forced.
Well, which is unfortunate.
But I mean, that's... I assume Naruto's going to emerge from that damaged, and Sasuke's going to emerge from this crazy. Because the Ito Tensei, like you said earlier, once the Ito Tensei goes, then
yeah,
he's going to have to...
Itachi clearly has no plans of answering any questions. Just, sure, whatever, I'll answer your questions after we beat him.
You should start answering them during the battle. I am
that
curious.
That defeats the purpose for what he's trying to do, right?
I am curious what his plan is, because they know they can't kill him.
I still think it's using the Mangekyo Sharingan to convince Kabuto or trick
him.
Didn't
he actually explicitly say that that's what he was going to do?
Yeah, he's going to use a genjutsu to trick him.
Yeah.
But, I mean, he also said it in front of him.
Maybe that was the genjutsu. Maybe none of this is happening.
I'm guessing
that would be a typical Uchiha fight.
Kabuto's gonna do the thing where he, like, threatened to kill himself and then slowly back away. And that, I think, is where Anko is going to come into play.
And stab him in the back, and then they're gonna be like, no, what have you done?
Or knock him out or something. Yeah, I mean, the fights have gotten interesting. And
yeah,
I really want to see what they're doing with them.
Next week, something good's going to happen, whether it's Naruto or Sasuke.
When we say that, it's going to be like a total off chapter. It's
meanwhile, what's Neji up to?
There hasn't actually been, like, for as popular a character as he was, there has been basically nothing with him since the Rescue Sasuke arc.
Well, that's the case for
pretty much, not everybody, but for the vast majority of them. Like, I would say Rock Lee was more popular than Neji, wasn't he?
Shikamaru got a decent arc out of it.
Yeah.
That was.
But that's,
that
like,
was going
the only
on,
one.
When that arc was going on, I was like, okay, so next we're going to get, like, the Hinata's team arc, and then we're going to get the Rock Lee's team arc. But...
Nope, just right back to Naruto.
Which is fine, I guess.
Which he even saved the day at the end of that arc.
Yeah.
Does Guy's presence at the Masked Man fight concern you guys? Because he seems to be the odd man out there. Because it's like Naruto and his two teachers and then this other guy.
I don't know. I don't think him or Kakashi are really going to change anything. Every time Kakashi gets in a big fight, I think he's going to die.
I think he thinks he's
going to.
Well,
he's died once already, so, you know.
The pain thing, which...
Everybody died.
Yeah.
Yep.
That
Rock,
really
small,
took...
Everyone dies.
That took away from the heaviness of that really quickly.
Yep.
I wonder if Kishimoto was pressured into doing that.
No, I don't...
I mean, some of those deaths were, like, they had a lot of mourning behind them.
Well, yeah, they seem to really be going for the emotional pull, and then...
The one I remember is Choji during the Rescue Sasuke arc, you know, where he very clearly died, and then all of a sudden he's fine.
He didn't die. He went to sleep. He was
See?
Tired.
He passed out.
Kakashi got a nail through the forehead.
Yeah. Okay. I'm sure there is a little bit of, no, we still need to sell action figures.
Yeah.
I hope there's not that much of it going on behind the scenes, but I'm sure there's some of it.
Like, we were talking about this with Fairy Tail, that you can't, as a mangaka, you still have to be somewhat beholden to your editors. So you can't just, like, kill off important characters that are popular.
That being said, since it's already been established that this is the final arc for this series, I think all those bets are off.
again, I'm not sure that's been established precisely. I'm sure it might be the case, but...
No, I'm pretty sure in an interview he has stated that this is the final arc.
Yeah, I could see that.
I will see if I can find an interview on that while we go on to the next topic. But yeah.
Yes, let's change manga, because I think we could talk about Naruto all day.
All right, so One Piece, which
was also great this week.
It's great pretty much every week.
Before we get too far in it, I want to point out that Luffy's shirt on the title page says, "I am eat meat."
Oh, that is what it says. For some reason, I kept reading it as, like, Tam Meat or something.
I want to get that shirt now. I want a shirt that says, "I am eat meat."
I like these color title pages. They're always very pretty.
Yeah, they're always... Like, that was actually... I always loved in the anime, in a couple of the openings, they took some of these title pages and animated them, and they looked great.
One thing that One Piece does really well is have its characters just hang out.
Yeah.
Like, not a lot of manga get that right, of just like, here's a nice afternoon where they're having a picnic.
So this chapter, they discovered I remember your theory last week when you weren't here.
Yeah.
You told
the
me...
one that you just threw away offhandedly at the start.
And I feel that I was fully justified in that.
I almost don't want to bring it up because now it's kind of been shot to crap.
Yeah, but you think it wasn't really law. Or you thought it wasn't really law.
I thought it was weird, oscillating vortex man pretending to be law. But that's not the case. Because as of this chapter, it's very clearly law.
Right. And we've also established that now that the vacation house law says he's in is the same place that they're keeping the children and Nami, Chopper, Sanji, and Franky are in.
Yeah, or were it. So, kind of starts off with them inside, running away, and then they end up in a big freezer room full of giants, it looks like.
Giant corpses.
Presumably corpses. You know, they might be preserved.
Yeah.
Some more giant than others. Like, there's some that are, like, just huge faces. And also, I noticed they all seem...
Sorry, like I said, I'm searching for the thing, so I don't know if you had mentioned it, but did you guys notice that all of the people encased in ice are wearing prisoners' outfits?
I was just going to say that. They're all wearing stripes.
Yep.
So
one of the things that could be done, depending on whether or not you want our resident Shishibukai to be evil, is you could be thinking that maybe these children actually were sick and he was harvesting organs from the prisoners to save the children sort of thing.
I always figured the sickness had to do with the poison on the island that Law is curing it somehow.
I was thinking maybe the sickness was making them big.
Well, especially since that samurai seems to be after his child, and he was thinking one of the giant ones might be his child.
Right. So. And he's definitely not a giant.
Yeah. So.
Kind of on a theory that I think... Law is working with Vegapunk or Vegapunk scientist.
I still think Vegapunk's not explicitly involved in what's going on here.
I mean, but everyone says it's abandoned, but...
Law's involvement just confuses me, because, like, we haven't seen any of his crew. There doesn't seem to be any motivation yet for him to be here. I'm sure we'll get some, but...
Maybe it actually is his vacation home.
No.
Like, he has no idea any of this is going on.
Yeah, as Smoker's talking to him and he's saying, like, no, nobody's here, and the Straw Hats run out, he seems legitimately surprised to see them run out of the house.
Like, I don't think he knew the children were there either.
Yeah, because if, why would he lie if he knew what was going on here? You know, he'd just take out the Marines anyway.
Yeah, he has nothing, like... I'm pretty sure he outranks Smoker.
Yeah, Shichibukai is...
Well, they're not really rankings. They're...
Well, I'm pretty sure...
They're a completely separate organization.
If it came to the world government, they'd probably side with Law over Smoker.
I don't know about that. With how much the other Shichibukai go rogue and do their own shit that is contrary to what the world government is desiring them to do, I don't know if they would side with him.
But they need the Shichibukai as, like, PR faces for the piracy industry, I guess.
Yeah.
No, they need them because they're people who are going to go out there and kill other pirates.
Well, there are ones that are better to have on their side than fight against them.
Yeah. So, and apparently I was mistaken. There has not been anything said one way or another as to whether or not this is the final arc of Naruto. So,
I mean,
my mistake. Yeah.
Until Naruto is fighting Sasuke, I don't consider the manga close to ending.
I'm still going to say there's another time skip. Just going to keep banging that drum. Anyway, One Piece. The best part of this chapter was the Straw Hats running out, going, oh shit, Marines, and then turning out and running back inside.
Yes, and the Frankie Tank song. I can't wait to hear that in an actual song.
And did you notice Sanji and the samurai head on the back?
Yes. And everybody doing the pose at the end.
With all the Marines standing there just shocked and dumbfounded.
Yep.
So Law decided to strand the smoker Marines.
Yeah, using a new technique that I don't think we've seen before, have we?
No, it's the same thing. It's just his room is absolutely enormous now, so he's able to control larger things.
Right. Just kind of throws their boat and a bunch of water up in the air.
Actually, now reading the last page again, I think Law did know something was going on there, because he said, I shouldn't have said there was no one here.
Hmm.
So what he's doing, he's probably doing, he thinks is on the up and up.
Right.
But now that he's lied about it, there's not going to be any...
Now he's got to take out Smoker, which this fight should be interesting, because I don't think Law can affect Smoker in any way. It'll be interesting to see how this goes.
He could probably cut through his smoke pretty easily.
Well, but what will that accomplish?
He's a Logia. His sword will just go right through the smoke. And then
Smoker will wrap around him and capture him.
But one of Smoker's things is making everything, like, blocking all visual access. Because they can't actually find him because it's too smoky. Law has, like, complete spatial mastery.
Hmm. Yeah, but Smoker also has his Sea Stone sword, so he might be able to stop Law's powers.
Oh, that's true.
But the Sea Stone has to be touching Law itself, though.
Yeah, but as soon as he gets a direct hit, it's probably going to be over for Law.
But how can he get a direct hit if he's inside of the room and Law can just kind of, you know, keep him at bay that way?
Hmm.
There was no Luffy's group this week, was there?
No,
none. I kind of wonder if they're going to come across this fight halfway through, because they were heading for this area.
Well, I assume if Law's lifting ships into the air, then at one point someone's going to see it.
Maybe. Actually, when we left Luffy's group, they were coming across the...
the boss.
Yeah, so I wonder if we'll get some of that next week.
Well, no, they were coming across the giant dude that we don't know whether that is the liquid boss thing.
Well, they called him the boss, didn't they?
I think the same.
But it's a different group of people that were calling him the boss.
But it was the boss from the Denden Mushi.
Yeah.
Okay.
I do like that Sanji, without missing a beat, started flirting with Smoker's lieutenant.
Yeah, that seems in character.
He seems to have gotten over the cute girl phobia.
They had met in the past, right?
I'm sure that he's seen her. I don't know if they've met.
I'm not sure if he has. I'm trying to think.
When they were on, it was the island that Buggy and the woman whose name I've forgotten were chasing them down.
Yeah, in Logtown.
Logtown.
Not Logetown.
Logtown.
Yeah,
no, you're right, Logtown.
They would have met there, I think. Or at least seen each other.
I'm not sure. I think that she only ran into Zoro there. The place that I was trying to remember whether they saw one another or not was in Alabasta.
I stepped away for a second. Who are you talking about?
Togashi and Sanji, whether they've met one another before.
Oh, yeah. He seemed to know who she was. That crossed my mind, too. But,
I just can't think of any actual interaction between the two characters before.
Well, it's usually Smoker himself that comes across the Straw Hats. You know, everyone else is usually pretty far behind. And then they usually pick up and run before anyone else gets there. But I'm sure their faces are probably out there, and they might know of them from, you know, their deeds.
Yeah.
Or Sanji just has no idea and found a cute girl.
Yeah. I mean, also perfectly reasonable.
Yeah. I do like how she blushed at that.
I think she's just cold. It is a little cold on that island.
I guess Nami is blushing too, but she's in a bikini.
So Samurai Guy is probably still fighting Brook at this point.
Yeah, which I thought they were fighting out front of the facility.
There were different facilities, I think, weren't there?
Yeah, yeah. Remember?
So the ship was taken to a second facility where they're fighting.
Right, I think Laws is much more inland, and they had to break through a valley to get there.
That's right, yeah, the falling ice.
But yeah, it's, I mean, at this point we can only really speculate what the hell Law is doing there.
Which I don't think we can come up with any.
Yeah,
like, I don't think there's any reason that he would do this, and I'm sure
there is plenty of speculation that you can do, but there is absolutely nothing that any of it's really based off of.
Yeah, I mean, I could just make up something, but I don't have any reason to think that it's true.
It's perfectly reasonable. Okay, come up with the most outlandish reason you can think of.
Okay, Law is actually a diminutive giant, and he's trying to recreate Elbaf.
That's terrible.
Yeah, see?
I'm thinking, like, I'll go with the theory I expressed earlier, that he's doing something that he thinks is on the up and up, but he still doesn't want anyone to know about it.
Well, Law's always seemed to have a chip on his shoulder about the world government. So I don't think he really cares if it's on the up and up.
But he's part of the world government now.
Yeah. For some reason.
Apparently becoming a Shichibukai makes you just like a complete jerk.
Yeah, but at least you got a badass code on.
Nah, Jinbei wasn't a jerk.
Well, we never saw him when he was a Shichibukai, only after.
We saw him after he had already resigned his post, so to speak.
I mean, think about it. Crocodile was sure a lot nicer when they met him the second time, when he wasn't.
Well, you know, they were kind of breaking him out of prison, which, you know, can still sort of improve your standing with the person.
Well, Hancock, I guess, didn't kill that many people in comparison to the rest. And I guess Kuma was a.
Kuma was a nice guy.
I'm bothered that
they've turned into a robot.
They've never gone to actually like
after too.
I'm a little bothered they never actually bothered to explain his motivations for most things.
Oh, I'm sure they will. He had some standing with the revolutionaries, and when we delve more into that.
But he's dead. I mean, who's really going to say anything?
Dragon. I don't know.
He was friends with Raleigh, wasn't he?
Who?
With
Kuma and Raleigh?
I don't know if they ever established that. I mean, they were aware of one another, so he spoke to him, sort of thing. But
like,
I
Raleigh seemed to understand his motivations when he was sending everybody off of Shabadi pretty well.
Oh, Rayleigh. Okay.
Do you actually pronounce it Rayleigh? I assumed Raleigh.
Yeah, I would assume it's pronounced Raleigh the same way that the city and the, you know, sailor were.
I thought the city was pronounced Rayleigh. I just couldn't figure out who the hell you guys were talking about. I was like, Brawly? The guy from Dragon Ball?
Yeah, the guy whose power was 8 million.
Yes, the legendary Super Saiyan. That is who we're talking about.
Okay, that's what I thought. That makes more sense.
Which, while we're talking about Brawly, all the, like, doesn't it kind of diminish Goku and Vegeta a little? That there's a guy who's much, much stronger than him, and he's just insane?
No. He's a movie guy.
Yeah, but still, I mean.
And honestly, that kind of gets thrown out of the window anyway when you discover that the. So, Brawly is Goku's father reincarnated.
What?
Right?
What?
Because he's supposed to be the reincarnation of the legendary Super Saiyan, and according to the new stuff, the legendary Super Saiyan is Goku's father.
Huh.
Okay, back to One Piece.
All right.
Back to One Piece. What else is there to say about the chapter at this point? We've
I think we have like a three-way.
Pretty
fight
much
going.
Anything we can say we've retreaded in previous episodes at this point as well.
Well, do you figure that they're going to run away from this fight, or they're like Sanji and Frank are going to stick around?
Someone's going to stay to fight Takagi, I would think. I continue to love Kung Fu Point Chopper.
Yeah.
I hope he just stays that way all the time.
The Chopper's never heard of this disease, which makes me think it's some reaction to.
He hasn't had an opportunity to check them out to find out what the disease is.
But right? He would know if there was a disease that made people, like, big or something.
Yeah.
Well, have we established that that's what the supposed disease was?
Well, no, but, I mean, it's the only really common denominator between the children. I did like the little shout-out that, or not shout-out, I suppose, but reference that Chopper prefers cold areas.
Yes.
Because he's a reindeer.
Well, that he was from, what was the name of the island? That
Drum Island.
Drum Island.
Yeah, Drum. So he's probably not used to heat as much as he is snow.
Yeah, so I would bet that next week is probably going to be mostly taken up by Luffy's gang.
Yeah, they do like to bounce back and forth.
I don't think we'll probably, you know, knowing Oda, I don't think we're going to see much of the Law fight. I don't think we're in store for, like, a multi-chapter battle.
I don't think we're in store for a multi-chapter battle, but I think that we might see a little bit more of it.
A little bit, but it's not going to, like, be the focus of a whole chapter or anything.
I think once he destroys their ship, there's not much they can do about it.
Yeah, it's going to be kind of funny if he just breaks the ship and walks away, and they're stranded there.
So he's become a lot stronger in the last 2 years, like... That's elite.
The room has grown, its size has grown absolutely enormous.
Yeah, it used to just be like a small area around him, right? Or localized around his hands or something.
Or that's all we saw. Maybe he was always able to control whatever the size of the room is and didn't bother making it larger last time because he didn't need to.
Well, but presumably other people have gotten stronger.
But they've gotten stronger of like magnitudes by the same that the Straw Hats have, which kind of makes their 2 years... in specialized places kind of weird.
But yeah, again, we never really saw exactly what Law could do, him messing with the Marines.
Though this chapter did remind me of the guy whose name I forgot last week, Kid.
Yeah, Eustace Kid. You guys were really bad with names last week.
Robin was supposed to help.
He was.
I didn't remember the name of the lieutenant from Bleach, but...
You guys were messing with me with the jewelry bonnery thing, right? Because I was screaming at my car radio.
At some point I was. At some point I was like, no, it's Belmere.
God.
But yeah.
I literally screamed jewelry bonnery at my radio over and over, and I think someone in another car heard me.
And looked at you weird, like, what the hell is he talking about?
But yeah, I thought, like, I still think Kid has a decent chance of being the other Shichibu guy.
But we saw him fighting some Marines, didn't we?
No, we didn't see him fighting some Marines. We heard the reference to some... pirate named Eustace Kid was attacking Big Mom stuff.
Okay.
And also, Law is a Shichibukai and is fighting Marines.
Well, there's, what, 3 Shichibukai spots open? So we got Law, probably Buggy.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't be surprised if there's actually a new character in the third one. You know, not...
But, I mean, it's pirates that are so infamous that they get that title.
I do gotta say... Law being a Shichibukai kind of bums me out because it ruins the animal naming theme. I mean, Buggy still kind of fits, but Trafalgar Law is not an animal.
But he has Beppo, so...
Yeah, I guess that's good. But they already have a bear in there. They have Kuma.
Not anymore.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
What does Trafalgar actually get translated as, anyway?
I think it's a name. It's just like a...
It's a public square and tourist attraction in London.
True. Yeah.
There's a Trafalgar, Indianapolis. Or Indiana.
So he was named after the town in Indiana.
Oh, and there's the Battle of
Trafalgar. Mystery solved.
And its style of leather belts. And...
I'm sure it's actually a reference to all of these other things, right?
I'm going to stop reading the Yahoo results for...
All right, but yeah, we're running out about time, so...
And stuff to discuss.
Yeah, we had... I mean, there was a bunch of stuff that didn't happen this week, like no Bleach, no Stars. So that should be back next week.
Yeah, so... Bleach will be back next week. I think Hunter is the only thing off next week.
Gone forever.
Yeah. Yes. It is gone until further notice.
Which probably I'm guessing 6 months.
Yeah.
I'll go with four.
I'm kind of surprised High School of the Dead is still off.
It is? I thought people just stopped translating it.
No, it's been on hiatus since last February of 2011. But yeah, this has been your Thursday, March 15th, 2012 jump cast. And we promise not to get sold to CBS.
That's a weird reference to make for an anime podcast.
I mean, I don't promise that.
We're attached to a video game website, so...
If CBS offers, I kind of probably will, but...
I was gonna insist
depends on
for
how much, right?
Not really.
I was going to insist he makes whatever a joke offer. Nitro Beard is being sold to PBS.
Yeah, I don't think they'd take us. We say fuck too often. But yeah, guys, thank you for coming.
Oh, no problem.
Thanks for having us.
And we'll see you guys next week.
Bye-bye.
Well, no, the point modest. Where her boobs started growing is where she started eating Sanji's food.
Well, man,
I maintain that it is a canon thing that the reason that both Nami and Robin's breasts grow as large as they have is because they are regularly eating the food that Sanji prepares.
That would be amazing if that was like his secret evil plan. But then why aren't like Luffy and Usopp and them?
Maybe because they're not female.
Maybe it's a devil fruit power.
The same food. I'm pretty sure they've eaten Nami's portion of food at some point.
But they're not female, so it's specifically tailored to cause females to grow.
So is this? I was gonna say, is this something he picked up on the Okama Island? But I guess this would predate that.
Yeah,
it's just Sanji. That's
pervert magic.
Yep.